Welcome to AdultBibleStories.com, our vicarious God and his vicarious people. A Bible reading plan. We need to know the stories from A to Z, from Genesis to Revelation. It helps you much in knowing God and his ways and how he's dealt with people. So walk with me, read with me through this. This is June 8th, and we'll end on June 15th with 1 Chronicles. It takes about 2 hours and 3 minutes, 20 minutes a day. You'll get through it fine. So let's just jump right in. 1 Chronicles starts out with a bunch of genealogy. If you have never read 1 Chronicles, you ought to. It's difficult to get through some of this genealogy. Chapter 2 goes on to the genealogy of David. And chapter 3, descendants of David. Most people know about David as a man after God's own heart. Most people want to be like him. He was a man of blood. And he also had quite a few wives, and I don't know if people really understood this. So these are sons of David who were born to him. He had, and then they were all the different women. I mean, he had like six were born in Hebron, and he reigned for 7 years and 6 months, and he reigned 30 years in Jerusalem. And they're born in Jerusalem, another 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6, children. So David had a few women, so it's no wonder that his son Solomon had quite a few more. What you don't take care of one generation, it's just going to multiply in the next generation. I find that interesting. In chapter 4 is descendants of Judah. If you ever heard of the prayer of Jabez, which was pretty big, I don't know, 15, 16 years ago, something like that. But this is where it found in chapter 4, verse 9. It says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother called him Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. So how'd you like to have a name like that? A mother that's so emotional that whatever she's feeling when you're born, your name is. Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, so it might not bring me pain. And God granted him what he asked. So that's where that is. And it continues with more genealogy in chapter 4. Chapter 5, genealogy about sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel. This is interesting here, how Reuben was actually supposed to have the birthright because he was the firstborn, but he lost it. The sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, because he was... For he was the firstborn, but because he defiled his father's couch, his birthright was given to the sons of Joseph, the sons of Israel, so that he could not be enrolled as the oldest son. And so, Reuben defiled, he slept with, with his stepmom, his brother's mother, and so he lost the firstborn, the right of the firstborn, which went to Joseph. And Joseph was 11th, because it's a tithe. Every firstborn that came out of the womb was to be given to the Lord. And that's how tithe is. A tithe is, the first part of every tenth. Tenth is, tenth. And so when they bring goats or sheep through and they count the first one, that goat, didn't matter if it was the best sheep or the worst sheep, if it was the first one, it always went. And there's also first fruits, but that's something different. And so here's Joseph. So Reuben was the first, and they waited all the way for a tenth, and Joseph was the 11th son, so he became the first to receive the inheritance of the firstborn. So chapter 5 is interesting. Go ahead and read about that. Chapter 6, more genealogy of the tribe of Levi. And that's what a lot of this is genealogy of these tribes. Chapter 7, more genealogy. Chapter 8, the genealogy of Saul. Chapter 9 is a genealogy of the returned exiles. And so I find this interesting. So all Israel is recorded in genealogies, and these are written in the book of Kings of Israel. And so... Kings and Chronicles are kind of the same. Kings, I think, is written more by the state or by kings themselves, and Chronicles is written more by the church. There is church and state throughout Scripture. There is a division, but they do have their place. Even Jesus said, give to Caesar what is Caesar, give to state what is state's, and give to God what is God's, church and church. But Judah was taken into exile in Babylon because of their breach of faith. Judah was taken to exile in Babylon because of their breach of faith. So go ahead and read chapter 9. We can't breach our faith. Without faith, you cannot please God. So if you're not going to believe and have faith in God, you're going to have a belief and faith in someone or something else, including yourself, and that's a breach of faith. And you don't want to go that direction. Chapter 10 talks about the death of Saul and his sons. And chapter 10, verse 13, and Saul died for his breach of faith. He didn't trust God anymore. He trusted in himself. And it says he broke faith of God and all that he did. And he did not keep the commandment of the Lord and also consulted a medium seeking guidance. He did not seek guidance from the Lord. Therefore, the Lord put him to death and turned the kingdom over to David, son of Jesse. Put him to death. This is 1 Chronicles. This is definitely written by the church or priest rather than the kings. Because if you read about in first and read about Kings, Saul is not put this way as it is in the Chronicles. And in chapter 11, starting with verse 10, these are David's mighty men. So this is you know, he yielded a spear against 300 whom he killed at one time. So you're talking about, you know we've read about Samson and how strong he was, but David had some mighty men and they were very strong too. So go ahead, make sure you read that chapter 11. Chapter 12, more stuff about the mighty men that joined David. Chapter 13, the ark brought from Kirjath-Jearim or something like that. But anyway, you know, the Ark of the Covenant didn't have the glory of God. It didn't have God's presence since the days of Eli. You know, in the days of Eli, they brought the Ark of the Covenant, thinking they're going to go to war that God didn't tell them to go to war with. They all shouted so loud that the earth shook, but the Lord wasn't with them. The Lord had departed from them. And so God's presence hadn't been in the Ark of the Covenant. So God's what makes things holy. You know, God created, 6 days, and the seventh day called it Sabbath and made that holy. All 7 days were perfect because God called them good, but he set aside one day to be holy. And so you have common days, 6 days a week, and and holy. And so God's holiness wasn't in the Ark of the Covenant at this, for many, many years. Well, all through King Saul, so that's 40 years, and probably, I don't know how many years during King David. But anyway, King David didn't know all the ways, apparently, of how to bring the ark in. So he wants the ark in, Jerusalem, in the city of David. So he says, let us bring up again the ark of our God to us, for we did not seek it in the days of Saul. Excuse me. So in the days of Saul, they didn't even bother going, getting the Ark of the Covenant. And why would you if God's not there? I mean, God didn't want King Saul God didn't want a king anyway. He wanted to be the king, and he certainly didn't want King Saul. King Saul is what the people want, and that's what I find, that when it comes to elections, rather your democracy, a republic, or whatever you are, God, exalts and takes down, and whatever the people want. If people want God, they're after God's own heart, then God will give them a righteous person to get them back on the path. But if there are people after man's own heart, then God's going to give them a person like them. And so chapter 13 is interesting. And they put the ark on they're supposed to carry the ark on their shoulders, put poles through the ark and carry it on the shoulders of the priest. But they didn't do that. They put it on a cart, and the cart, already tumbled, and the ark could maybe fall over, and so this guy reaches out to steady it, and God kills him dead. I mean, God is holy. I mean, it's one thing touching things common and versus touching things holy. And we know about this. Even in the New Testament, Jesus said, pray this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We need to know when we're approaching God, he is holy, and we must approach him holy. We can't approach God as common. And so this guy dies, and David's really upset, and they leave alone the ark at somebody's house, and goes on until King David finds out how to really host the presence of God. Chapter 14 talks about more of David's wives and children's and ark, and then finally chapter 15, David finds out, hey, I know how to get the Ark of the Covenant here. Plus, the Ark of the Covenant was at Obed-Edom's house, and he was being greatly blessed. And King David's going, man, I want that blessing here. How can I live in this great city without the presence of God? And that kind of goes throughout Scripture. I mean, Moses says, don't bring us up from here if your presence doesn't go before us. Because God says, I'm going to give you your inheritance. I'm just not going with you. And Moses says, no way. Your presence is more than enough. And if you don't go with us, we don't want anything from your hand. And King David was the same way. And there's other people, like God took his presence away from King Saul, and King Saul seemed to be okay with it. The presence left Samson for a while, but Samson cried out, bring your presence back. Cain left the presence of God. So God's presence is very, very important. Chapter 16, God's ark is placed in a tent. And this is also a place where King David is singing a song, and touch not on my anointed ones, do my prophets no harm. You've probably heard that, especially in the charismatic circles. So that's where that's found. Chapter 17, the Lord's covenant with David, and David prays, and David defeats his enemies. And chapter 18, chapter 19, it's an interesting story where they humiliate King David. David's, you know, trying to honor some people, and these people, he's trying to honor and humiliate David's servants. So David has to, you know, return fire for fire. So read that story. I mean, cut their beards and cut off their bottom of their clothes. So read that chapter, chapter 19. Chapter 20, you know, this is where King David really gets into trouble. You know, whole story about King David, when he should be at war, he goes to the top of his house so he can look at all what's going on. And this is where he gets into Bathsheba. And so in the spring of the year, the time the king go out to battle, Joab led out the army and ravaged the country of the Amorites and came and besieged Rabbah. But David remained at Jerusalem. So he had Joab do his job while King David gets himself in trouble. Philistines kill some more giants. David should have been there. Remember, David killed the first giant, Goliath. So he should have been at that fight, but his men did that. Verse 21, David gets in more trouble. And Satan stood against Israel. This is chapter 21, verse 1. He counted. I know how the people's gone. Maybe he's getting weary. He's getting tired. So he counted the people to see if he had, you know, how many troops he had to go to war. But we're supposed to trust in the Lord. We're supposed to count on Him. And so even David's, Joab even stood up to King David, says, don't do this thing. But Joab went ahead and did it. He only halfway did it, I think. And so, but anyway, God gets mad at him. But anyway, what I was talking about earlier about church and state, how Kings, the book of Kings, first and second King, is written more by state mindset, more by king mindset, more those who are in politics. And Chronicles is written more by those who are in ministry. Because in Kings, you see that God is one that set up King David. But that's kind of how the state thinks, that, you know, the acts of God. But you come to First Chronicles and it says Satan stood against Israel and incited, you know, David to number Israel. So go ahead and read that chapter. It's a very good chapter. All these chapters are good. I mean, some of them, when you get into genealogy, it's kind of difficult to read. Understand that. 22, David prepares for temple building, but he can't build a temple because he's a man of blood. But anyway, he provides everything that Solomon's going to need to build the temple. So 23 is more about getting things ready. He's ready to build a temple. He spent the end of his years, the last of his days, getting ready for the temple and getting ready to go and die himself. So chapter 24, he organized the priest. 25, he organizes musicians. 26, he organizes the gatekeepers. 27, military. 28, David gets a charge to Israel about living for God, and his charge to Solomon how to continue on the throne. Then he offers offerings for the temple in chapter 29. He also finds Solomon anointed king, and finally the death of David. And at the end of chapter 29, I think verse 28 says, then he died at a good age, full of days, riches and honor, and Solomon's son reigned in his place. Now the acts of King David from first to last are written in the Chronicles of Samuel the seer, and the Chronicles of Nathan the prophet, and the Chronicles of Gad the seer. So it seems like Chronicles, I guess I don't know the definition of Chronicles. I mean, but anyway, it seems the Chronicles seem to be the priest, because there was not just these Chronicles, but there's one of Samuel and one of Nathan, which were both prophets. Gad was also a prophet, a seer. With accounts of all his rule, that his might of his circumstances that came upon him and upon Israel and upon all the kingdoms of the countries. So read First Chronicles. It's only said it's only 29 chapters, and it takes 2 hours and 3 minutes. God bless.